2022 is an election year and the political campaign is unofficially in full swing. Most of us will receive lots of flyers and the sentiment of political disappointment will increase. It begs the question whether public opinion and desires for change factor in. Where are we being let down? Are we being heard? And what kind of say should the people have? Referendums can act as a vehicle for the national interests that fall outside of party agenda. The Wire's Jared Cross started asking senior lecturer in the Faculty of Law and Justice at the University of New South Wales, Dr. Paul Kildea, how Australia can benefit from more referendums.
We've got a representative democracy in our country, and that means that politicians make decisions, they pass laws on our behalf. But I think there's value from time to time in there being a bit of a supplement to that, and that supplement can come through the holding of referendums. And we're used to holding constitutional referendums, I think. When most people think about these things, they think about the Republic referendum and things like that, where we've voted on changes to the Constitution. But my argument is that there's value in holding more policy referendums. So that's where we would get a direct say on particular policy issues, just like we did in 2017 on same-sex marriage. And what's really interesting looking back at the history of it is that although we haven't voted on policy issues very much at the federal level of government, we've voted on policies many times, in fact, more than 50 times at the state and territory level on things like daylight saving, alcohol policy and many other things.
So why have we gone a little bit cold on the idea then? You said that previously there have been mostly constitutional referendums and they happened, by and large, a lot of them at least in previous decades, right? So was that a reflection of, I don't know, a nation in its infancy trying to shape its identity, gung-ho type nationalism, or was it something else?
No, I think if you look at the record, there are a couple of peaks in the holding of referendums. And so one occurs in the early 20th century, and we can put that down to votes on conscription during the First World War and also votes on hotel closing hours. There was a lot of controversy about whether pubs should shut at, say, 10 p.m. or 6 p.m. And that feels very remote to us now. But there was also quite a peak in the 1990s where the states and territories held a number of referendums on constitutional issues and on policy issues. So it's not an old-fashioned idea by any means. And I think it does still have a role to play in modern politics. I think the same-sex marriage vote demonstrates that. But you're right that we haven't seen a lot of them in recent times. I think the only people who can call one of these policy referendums are governments. Mm-hmm. And I think often they're not too keen on the idea because if they lose control of the issue potentially by asking the people for their vote. But, I think there's value on, say, issues like the date of Australia Day or whether we should have a National Integrity Commission.
Have we seen a bit of a catalyst for this potentially quite recently with the Religious Discrimination Bill? Sitting members, a lot of them voted across party lines in numbers that we rarely see. Only a couple of months ago, we had Australia Day, Invasion Day, January 26th, whatever it is that you coin it. I mean, there's an argument there where people are saying, hey, listen, let us have a say in this. Can things like this, I don't know, make a change? Is there an appetite for it, do you think?
Yeah, well, I think there's an appetite amongst the public. I mean, some research that I've done demonstrates that people are really quite keen on the idea of holding referendums to make decisions on certain issues. I think referendums can have a particular role to play where the parliament is deadlocked on an issue, and you could say that perhaps on religious discrimination that could happen. I'm not sure we're there yet, but perhaps in the future if politicians weren't able to get it together in the parliament on that particular issue, that could be put to a vote. I think there's a danger there because it would be asking people to give a view on minority rights, on potentially endangering the rights of transgender children. So it may not lend itself to that. But things like same-sex marriage that we've seen, it's where politicians kind of become deadlocked on an issue, or they don't want to pass laws on an issue because they fear a backlash. Daylight saving is a good example of that. And that's where kind of a policy referendum can kind of let the air out a little bit and enable the issue to progress and go forward to a resolution.
Right. Could it get out of hand? Say we start, more favourably looking at referendums and they become more and more popular, or at least they happen a little bit more.
Yeah, sure. I think with policy tools like this, you want to make sure you don't overuse them. And I guess in my mind, it'd be interesting to hold a referendum of this kind every election cycle, so perhaps on the ballot paper alongside our when we're voting for candidates. But if you look over in Ireland, for example, they've held a lot of constitutional referendums recently, and there's concern about referendum fatigue. In Switzerland, they hold several referendums a year sometimes, but their democracy is very different to ours.
Senior lecturer in the Faculty of Law and Justice at the University of New South Wales, Dr. Paul Kildiade, speaking with The Wire's Jared Cross.